Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
And welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Crute's getting set up. He is up north. I don't know if you know the storyline, but he's going to be, you know, calling some football games this evening. So he's up there getting set up. I am going to get us going. Our good friend, James Santel, going to join us at 5 o'clock, airing the grievances. It's been a long week, folks. It's been a very productive week for law and order in this country. And, of course, we have some local news I want to get to as well. Let's start out with the man of the hour, Tim Michaels. And Evan, I'm going to give you a heads up. I text you over a tweet.
Yeah, I got you.
If you can work on that sound while I address this one, because it's going to be everything you expect with Tim Michaels. Sophia Voigt reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. After the latest Marquette University Law School poll showed Republican gubernatorial candidate trailing Governor Tony Evers by 2 percentage points, Michaels claimed without evidence, it's because there's a class of people out there that does not talk to pollsters. Wisconsin Wednesday's Marquette poll showed support for Evers at 45%. Michaels was at 43%. And independent Joan Beglinger was at 7%. During a campaign stop at the Brown County Republican Party office on Thursday, Michaels said he believed he was actually up in the polls. Oh, he's up. He's down, but he's up.
I'm one of those guys that doesn't even take them. I don't know what the numbers look like. I don't see the emails. They're not sending them to
me. So you don't, if they reach out, you're a non-responsive. You won't even take the call. You won't have the conversation.
I've never noticed that I've gotten one, let's say. I feel like I have to have by now.
We have some friends that have produced us in the past in the radio industry would say that they'll take the calls and then lie to the pollsters just to prove a point. So maybe there is some of that. Is it enough, though, to move a poll? I don't know. Here's what Michaels had to say to a crowd of GOP party members. If the polls say we're dead even right now, I believe in my heart that we are up at least 5 to 10 percentage points. 10, 20, 30 percentage points. I mean, why stop at 5 to 10 when you're down by 2? And I would also, you know, note, this is within the margin of error of 4.1 or 4.2. So you're kind of okay. You know, you're still a dead even. But, and again, this is kind of, I think, the what we see happening from the Republicans across the country. If they see a result they don't like, and granted, polling is polling, take it for what it's worth, but if it's being a poll, if it's an election and they lose, well, there's very problematic. If it's a poll and they're behind, well, it's very problematic. Michael's claims echo his GOP primary candidate, Tim Ramjam, who claimed without evidence that his name was intentionally left off of Marquette's law school poll in June that showed him with only 3% support. That claim was quickly refuted by our most recent guest, poll director Charles Franklin, who said Ramjam was included in February, April, and June polls, where he polled 5, 4, and 3%. I have no idea where this is coming from, Franklin told the Journal Sentinel in a July interview. It's pretty well documented. We have asked about him. People have indeed chosen him and supported him. Just not very many. Again, he's referring to Ramjam. So Michael's behind in the polls, but, you know, again, within the margin of error. So what are you getting all worked up about? But that is neither here nor there, because that's just all, you know, fun and games before the actual election. What matters? Well, of course, policy matters, right? Roe versus Wade matters. And if you think that perhaps, you know, Republicans would do something to change this law that went into effect in the state of Wisconsin, you know, regulating what women can do with their own bodies prior to a woman even having the right to vote in this country. Republicans, yeah, let's go back to those good old days. Dan Schaefer did a retweet of a Channel 12 ABC interview, and I would like to play this for you. This is Tim Michaels being asked about his thoughts on exceptions for rape and incest on Wisconsin's abortion laws. Let's hear it, if you would please, Evan.
Yes.
As early as in a couple of weeks, abortion could be handed back to states for control in Wisconsin. It would be the 1849 law. Would you sign any legislation? Some Republicans, Speaker Voss, has said he would support adding exceptions for rape and incest. Would you sign that into law?
So I'm pro-life. It comes from my faith, and I believe that we have to protect the unborn. And there's two victims in my book. There's two victims when you have an abortion. There's the unborn baby. And then there's the mother, the recent mother, that's going to have to carry that emotional baggage the rest of her life. And science has proven that that's the case. The 1849 law is an exact mirror of my position, and my position is an exact mirror of the 1849 law as well, which has an exception for life of the mother.
But you wouldn't support exceptions for rape or incest?
That's correct.
Damn.
The 1849 law, with no exception for rape or incest, is an exact mirror of his position. Tim Michaels, an exact mirror. And what like 80%, 80-some percent of Wisconsinites disagree with that stance? Are you kidding me? According to this,
yeah.
88% was tweeted that Wisconsin voters support those exceptions. We just had Charles Franklin on recently, briefly talked about the abortion. I mean, this is the GOP, the MAGA's candidate for governor here in the state of Wisconsin, and he is, what, going along with 12% of the MAGAs that want the 1849 law, exactly mirrored. That's his faith, because it comes from his faith, you know.
That question would have been a softball 5 years ago. You know, just the words rape and incest alone, it's enough. Like, yes, I support this, you know, tragedy.
Rape,
you know,
and incest. Totally, I mean, oof. Terrible things to happen, but, you know, we're going to force the state, the government, under my governance, under my administration, I, Tim Michaels, will force women who have been victims of rape and incest with the full authority and prosecution of the state will force women and girls to have those babies. That doesn't seem very, you know, free to me. To me, that seems like the heavy hand of the state coming down and busting heads, again, on a law that was put into place prior to the right of women to vote in this country. So that is just, I guess, a brief preview of where Wisconsin politics are right now. And I got to tell you, given the angst caused by this, and we've seen all the reports and see how the Republicans react and the MAGA react to, oh, a 12-year-old girl who was raped and had to go over, you know, cross state lines to get an abortion. Oh, it's false. It's fake. Oh, no, it's true. Oh, my bad. My bad. I guess it was just my bad. No apologies. No, nothing along those lines. They are getting more and more to the right. They're getting more and more fascistic. They are getting more and more authoritarian. And I have a real, really tough time believing that with 88% of the people of Wisconsin citizens wanting some sort of exception for rape or incest, that he's going to get very much traction on that topic, which is a driving important topic, seeing that Roe v. Wade was just overturned this year. So people will have a very specific opportunity to let their voices be known on this topic. It's Friday. We air the grievances. My grievance, where's Crudy? 844-967-2789. You can join us on the lines.
We've got our best men. Our best men are on it.
We're on it. Also, James Santel going to join us. That should be most entertaining. Lots of national news headlines to get to. So let me just touch on a couple that I noted that I know we're going to get into some detail. One that's very important, kind of a throwback. You know, it's Friday. Throwback Friday. Let's bring up the grievances. The Washington Post reporting that the court has ordered the release of a DOJ memo on Trump obstruction in the Mueller probe. Remember the good old days of the Mueller probe when all we had to worry about was, you know, a little Russian, you know, interference, a little Russian collusion, a little Russian conspiracy, because now we do know after all this time, and after Paul Manafort being pardoned by Trump, he did, in fact, give polling data to a Russian spy. So, yes, there was that. But there was also so much more. Let's get into this piece briefly. A federal appeals court has ordered the release of a secret Justice Department memo discussing whether President Donald Trump obstructed the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. The unanimous panel decision on Friday echoes that of a lower court judge, Amy Berman Jackson, who last year accused the Justice Department of dishonesty in its justifications for keeping the memo hidden. The panel of three judges, led by Chief Judge Sri Srinivasan, said that whether or not there was bad faith, the government created a misimpression that could not stop the release under the Freedom of Information Act. Uh-oh. The memo was written by two senior Justice Department officials for then-Attorney General Barr, who subsequently told Congress that there was not enough evidence to charge Trump with obstruction of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's inquiry. A redacted version was released last year, but left under seal the legal and factual analysis. Department officials argued that the document was protected because it involved internal deliberations over a prosecutorial decision. But the judges agreed with Jackson that both Mueller and Barr had clearly already concluded that a sitting president could not be charged with a crime. The discussion over how Barr would publicly characterize the obstruction evidence Mueller had assembled, the DOJ conceded on appeal. The court's review of the memorandum revealed that the department was never considered bringing a charge. Instead, the memorandum concerned a separate decision that had gone entirely unmentioned by the government in its submissions to the court. What, if anything, to say to Congress and the public about the Mueller report? The court said that if the Department of Justice had accurately described to Jackson the motivation behind the memo, the document might be considered protected. Federal courts generally give deference to the government in such cases. Another quote, "We have held that an agency's deliberations about how to communicate its policies are privileged, just like its deliberations about the content of those policies," the court wrote. But they said the government forfeited that argument by insisting the memo was about the charging decision and resisting a review that showed otherwise. Any notion that the memorandum concerned whether to say something to the public went entirely unargued, even unmentioned, until the appeal, the court said. "We cannot sustain the withholding of the memorandum on a rationale that the department never presented to the district court." Uh-oh. Attorney General Barr cited this memo as a reason not to charge President Trump with the obstruction of justice. Cruz spokesman Jordan Leibowitz said in a statement, "The American people deserve to know what it says. Now they will." That's some good news. Happy Friday. We get to see the unredacted memo. We'll see what kind of BS they've been shoveling to us under the Attorney General, former Attorney General Bill Barr's administration. And now all the Republicans, "Oh, this is chaos. It's Gestapo." Yeah, under this guy. But Barr, that was totally right. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. Air your grievances with us. 844-967-2789.